This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. BOGO is back for 1 week only. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm today at EdenPureDeals.com with code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code Howie.
Strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
This morning, for millions of parents, the frantic search for formula is getting closer to home. 43% of the nation's baby formula supply is out of stock.
It's scary. It's scary not knowing if you're going to be able to feed your kid.
Will somebody get the kid a Happy Meal?
Well, as a parent and with friends and colleagues, we was aware that people were starting to have trouble in stores.
It feels really hot in here. Is it hot in here?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
This policy does not allow for crack pipes to be included. I would just note that this is a bit of a conspiracy theory.
Just real quick, Tucker, I just want to show you the crack pipe that we got here. This is the crack pipe, and here we got the meth pipe, so it's unbelievable.
Y'all act like crack is so bad. Well, like the good book says, let he who is without sin throweth the first rock, and I shall smoke it.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
And that has to be one of the best intros I've ever heard. So it doesn't sound like Howie Carr here. It's Toby Leary sitting in for Howie, who just finished up a live remote up in New Hampshire. And I am happy to be back in studio with you all today. And I'm the gun guy, right? So we talk a lot about guns and we take calls about guns. And we also talk about the politics around guns. And we also talk about politics, but which we're going to get to in the bottom of the hour. We have Jeff Diehl, who most of you know is running for governor here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So we're going to be talking to him. And we got tons of stuff to talk about. I know it's a big shift in gears for the Howie audience here to go from everything that is news of the day, and it was a great show. I listened to a lot of it, and to jump right into gun talk, and I know some of the regulars are like, can you really just change it up once in a while? So we do. We end up wading into the deep end of the pool and talking politics, but I have to say that it always comes back around to guns because a lot of the callers want to talk guns, and so we will take your calls, 844-500-4242, if you want to call in and ask anything. I don't care what it's about. It's Friday and it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. So we're excited to just be here and talk all things. But I do want to start out with a little bit of good news as it relates to guns, which doesn't really happen much under this current attack from the Brandon administration. But we got some good news that came out of California, of all places. Can you believe it? So a couple days ago, Ammo Land Inc. reported that the ban on semi-automatic rifles to young adults, meaning 18 to 20-year-olds, has been overturned by none other than the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I know it's hard to believe. They are a very activist court, but they have been coming down on the right side of gun issues a lot lately. And on May 11th, the three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit, based in California, struck down California's ban on the sale of semi-automatic centerfire rifles to young adults ages 18 to 20. The case is Jones versus Bonta. Bonta's the attorney general of the state of California. And the opinion was filed a year after the appeal was submitted on May 12, 2021. The three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit has disagreed with what the state of California has done and banned ownership of guns for young adults. And they held that there's a requirement also. This is the asterisk to this decision is there was also a requirement that anyone who did buy a gun between the ages of 18 and 20 possess a hunting license. And so if you're buying a gun just because you want to collect or shoot at the range or for whatever reason, they also require that you get a hunting license. And they didn't strike down that portion of it as for whatever reason. They feel that did not violate their right to keep and bear arms. But they went on to say, America would not exist without the heroism of the young adults who fought and died in our Revolutionary Army Today, we reaffirm that our Constitution still protects the right that enabled their sacrifice, the right of young adults to keep and bear arms. They go on to say that we hold that the district court did not abuse the discretion in declining to enjoin the requirement that the young adults obtain a hunting license to purchase a long gun, but the district court erred in not enjoining an almost total ban on semi-automatic centerfire rifles. So anyway, that I like to start the show off on a positive note. And to me, this is a positive note. The second asterisk to this decision is, in the tradition of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, it has become one that the three-judge panel, which upholds the Constitution, or the right to keep and bear arms, is usually referred en banc to the whole panel so that they can go ahead and shoot it down in flames and carry on their tradition of hating the Second Amendment. But so this light issue is very likely to make its way to the Supreme Court. So we will see if they end up going to the en banc panel, or if it, and if it does, if it gets struck down, and if it does, if it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court. So that's one reason I always say, elections have consequences, as you've heard that very cliche saying over the years, because when you vote someone into power that wants to ban guns and then they do, it often takes decades to right that wrong. So I see the phone lines are filling up, so I'm not going to draw the run all hour here. Let's go right to the phones and we'll talk to Rick. You're first on this hour of the Howie Carr Show with Toby Leary. How are you, Rick?
Hey, Toby, I'm doing great. And by the way, earlier in the year, I did your gun class down here in Hyannis and with my wife, and it was fantastic. Thank you so much for offering those classes to the public. It was great.
Yeah, great.
I think one of the things we're seeing across the country is we're seeing quite a few states start to allow open carry and concealed carry. Yeah, constitutional carry is probably the best way to put it.
Right.
So that's a plus for everybody, mm-hmm. I think. And I think as that goes along and more people speak up, we'll see more of the Second Amendment being supported. But my question was really for Howie, and I was on hold.
I'll do my best. So,
I know you will, and you'll do a good job. So my concern with this baby formula thing is, I know it's totally has nothing to do with guns, but what did people do in the 50s and 60s before formula was created? I think we all survived. I mean, I'm a product of the 60s, and I made it through. So what's the real crisis? Is it manufactured? I'm just asking.
Yeah, that's a great question that I probably don't have the answer to, but I did see a bunch of articles online that like came out of parenting magazines and stuff from the 50s and 60s on how to manufacture, make baby formula yourself. And there's a recipe to it and people were doing it. And I have a feeling that's what they did before it was commercially available. But not being around then, I probably can't really weigh in on that. But I do agree in one part of your statement that it is manufactured. I do believe this whole crisis, same thing as gas. And thanks for the call, Rick. I think the gas crisis, the baby formula crisis, everything is being done on purpose. There's no other excuse or no other reason for it, especially when you take the gas thing. They're going to inflate the cost of gas to the point where people are so stricken and burdened by it, they're going to beg for the Green New Deal. And just like this baby formula crisis, they're already even like, you know, all the news media outlets, even on the right or the left or the middle, are saying, what is Joe Biden going to do about this? Like all of a sudden, they're conditioning us to have the government take care of us. So they create a problem. And then we go up to the government with our hand out and say, hey, what are you going to do for me? And that's just the way I see it. I don't see it any other way. But manufactured crisis is going to continue until we start to beg for the solution. That's the way I see it. But anyway, let's go to the next call. We got Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa. You're next on the Howie Carr Show with Toby Leary.
Hi there, Toby. God bless you and the good work you're doing. Guns make me happy.
Me too. Thank you very much.
I know. Could I have the voice changer possibly, if that's available?
Jared, is the voice changer available? All right. No one will know it's you now, Lisa. You are under the Witness Protection Program of the Howie Carr Show. So go ahead, Lisa.
Oh, thank God. See, if I was a cross-eyed liberal gun grabber, I wouldn't need the voice changer because I could actually speak my mind with rainbow hair and it would be fine without peering through my nose. I wanted to say thank you so much for having a pro-Second Amendment space, because it's so important. Up here in Maine, we've got constitutional carry. It makes me feel really good seeing more and more states passing that finally.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, in some of these really, like, ardent left-run cities where you've got the violence running rapid, no matter what the mainstream media is running, do you think that could be part of why some of these, like the Ninth Circuit, as you said, in California, for them coming with some more Second Amendment things, because there are people saying, look, we are fed up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people who may have said, they're passive. Well, then they see people protesting outside of their house, or they see, like, for instance, the Supreme Court justices. God bless them with what they're doing. It's absolutely wrong that they're not being protected for what they do.
Right.
Well, what happened to the Supreme Court? Would that happen to us? At what point does, you know, Joe Schmo Public, you know, become, hey, we've had enough?
Right.
What do you think, my dear?
No, I agree with you, and I think we're getting very close to that point. The thing that most politicians have, I think, been ignorant of and got by on up until the last 2 years was that the majority of Americans still believe in the right to keep and bear arms and the Second Amendment, very much so. And I believe that is here to stay. And I think it's even, you know, put down roots even further after what we've seen in the last couple of years because of, you know, the defunding of police and the violence in our cities and the mostly peaceful protests and, you know, this revolving door of soft on crime, you know, cities and whatnot. And you see Lori Lightfoot's Chicago with some of the most shootings every weekend. And I don't think that anyone who runs on the issue of wanting to ban guns will be successful. I think that people are going to, and we're going to talk about this with Jeff Deal in the bottom of the hour, but I believe that people are fed up with it and seeing our rights infringed upon, and they're no longer going to tolerate it. So great call, Lisa. I appreciate it. We will go to a break right now. If you're on the phone, hold on. We'll get to you after the break. This is The Howie Carr Show.
The Howie Carr Show will be back in a bit. The paperboy is going to make a few edits on his latest Herald column.
You want to break into my kind of racket? This is the lousiest game there is. You can risk your hide to get a good shot, and the city desk may stick it on page 10, if it's used at all.
Forget the myths that the media has created about the White House. The truth is, these are not very bright guys.
The Howie Carr Show is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Howie. And today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Jared, what is the poll question today and what are the results thus far?
How many of your regular products have you cut out because they're too expensive? 0, 1 to 5, or more than 5?
I'm going to say probably 0 at this point, but I'm not happy about paying the extra. So what have we got?
28% say 0, 52% say 1 to 5, and 20% say more than 5.
Sounds about right. People are tightening up the belt and, you know, whatnot. So thank you, Brandon, right? All right. Before we get back to the phones, I know, you know, Michael, hold on. I'm going to get to you next. But I just want to let everyone know that we got Zuckerberged on Instagram. So our Instagram account got nuked yesterday morning. I was on my way to work and, you know, all of a sudden, all our followers, all of our thousands of posts, gone in the blink of an eye. No explanation, no warning. They just whacked us. And we got whacked by Zuck. And so we have a new account. It's called CGW_backup. If you've been looking for us on Instagram and can't find us, that's why. So I still don't know why I've requested through their support at Instagram.com. I'm sure I'll... When the phone don't ring, I'll know it's them, as Howie likes to say. But that's another whole subject for a different day. Michael, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Michael.
Tell me. First off, don't make excuses for talking guns, because this is a time where we really need to talk about it, because I feel in my heart of hearts that they are coming for them, and people like me are targets. Full disclosure, I'm a government employee, and they're targeting me because I won't take their effing shot mandate, which is, you know, prevents me from doing my job and deploying. Yeah, so that's another story, but I just love the fact that we are passionate about this, and especially now. So I'm from Pennsylvania, and I was hoping to get a hold of Howie, but that's fine. You can relay the message, because I know he's a provocateur and likes to make a buck when he can, or just maybe show his, you know, his self, whatever, face, fine. But we have, in our little town of Milford, Pennsylvania, 1,400 people, very contentious election coming up, which I am an activist in. We have a Fox News host coming on the 17th of May, and I would just love, because I am an activist, and I'm invited to the show there to brandish a Howie Card T-shirt about the D'Souza film, just the D'Souza film, like whatever, so they could see it, and I think it's great advertisement. So anyway,
I'll pass the message.
Please do. I really do. Please do. But here, let me get to my point. I want to ask you, because I know I'm a target for these clowns, because they are coming after me too, because I speak up. I'm an activist.
Quickly, Michael.
Whatever. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I'm a patriot. 38 years, 3 combat tours, disabled vet. I don't care. So I'm their worst enemy. So I just have to ask you, Toby, please, and I respect what you have to say. What can I do to prevent, you know, I don't want to say buy guns undercover, because that's not possible. But again, I've been buying a lot of guns lately and a lot of ammo. Again, that makes me a target. I know that. So that being said, what preventive measures can I take? Plus, and shame on me, I don't have it yet, but I'd rather be judged by a jury of 12 than carry.
I'm going to hold you there, Michael, but I get the question. I get where you're going. What can you do to get guns and not let the government know about it? Well, right now, it's still legal to go ahead and make some, even though I got in the stack of stuff that the ATF served a cease and desist order to the parts supplier, JSD Supply, which was one of the sponsors of our Gunmakers match we had at Cape Gunworks. And but I get it. And I don't believe that just buying guns and ammo makes you a target. There's a lot of people out there buying guns and ammo. I think the government has a much larger issue if they intend to disarm all of the people who are buying guns and ammo and passionate about guns, which you are. But the best thing you can do right now, I believe, Michael, is to be an advocate. It sounds like you are. And spread the word and go ahead and take new people to the range, people who are disinterested or uninterested or just ignorant. Take them to the range, show them what it's all about, what the gun lifestyle is all about, and be a good example. Be a responsible citizen and be an outspoken advocate, and you'll do wonders in your community. So I thank you for the call, Michael, and I appreciate it, and I'll tell Howie to send you a t-shirt. So, all right, let's get back to the phones here. We'll do it right after the break. So, David, hold on. If you want to call back in after the Jeff Deal segment, that's fine, because we've got Jeff Deal on the phone next. So stand by. We will be right back. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. And right now, I am very happy. By the way, I'm Toby Leary sitting in for Howie Carr. And right now, I'm very happy to have on the line with us Jeff Deal, who, as you know, is running for the governor of Massachusetts. How are you, Jeff?
Hey, Toby. I am great. And thanks for having me on. This is great.
I'm really happy to finally connect. Our schedules have been like ships passing on the sea. And ever since April, when I endorsed you for the governor's race, we came out and we said, Jeff's a good, you know, strong candidate for governor, and we'd love to see you. And you assured me then, when I endorsed you for governor, that you as governor would adhere to a strict, no new gun control policy. And that was contingent upon my endorsement of you. And you said, absolutely, I am committed to the Second Amendment. Go ahead and tell us about that and your support for the Second Amendment.
I mean, Toby, I've served in the state legislature, so I know what the Democrats and the progressives, that subset of the Democrats that want to basically get rid of the Second Amendment, are all about. Mm-hmm. Maura Healey, who is most likely going to be the Democratic nominee for governor in this next couple weeks, because they have a convention coming up. I have a convention next weekend, and hoping folks can come to that. By the way, if you're a delegate, there's a party on Friday night at the Basketball Hall of Fame. In fact, if you're not a delegate, come. We'd love to have you there as a guest. But back to what your original question was, and that is, you know, my stance on the Second Amendment. I have a Class A license to carry. I use a Glock 23. My wife and I have been down to your incredible store where you've got the date nights on Friday nights where you can squeeze off some rounds with your loved ones and let her take her aggression out on the target, not me, right? Awesome. But the best thing about it, you know, is that you are very knowledgeable about gun rights and gun laws, and that's why you've got such a great store and customer base. But my feeling on the Second Amendment is it's a constitutional right. I love the fact that right now nationally there's an attempt in states, and some of them are passing it, constitutional carry. Mm-hmm. I really don't like the suitability clause where one police officer, the chief in your town, can be a unilateral decision as to whether you can have that Class A carry or not. That's wrong, in my opinion. And by the way, I'm a supporter of law enforcement, but I think a lot of police officers and people in law enforcement in general also agree that the laws in our state are overbearing. I voted against the red flag bill because I thought it was completely wrong that you can have your entire gun collection seized if somebody in your neighbor, your family, your friends say that you're somehow out of control. They can basically use the red flag to come in and seize your guns without any constitutional right. To me, it's totally unconstitutional.
It's Pandora's box for abuse.
Absolutely. Yes. No, absolutely. And by the way, we have Bartley Fox on the books as far as a gun illegal gun ownership, and it always gets waived or it gets pled out in cases to get a confession in another whether it's drug possession or whatever. And so basically the one major gun law that we have that I think everybody agrees with is, and that is to make sure that people using guns illegally, you know, for murder or violence or robberies, they don't end up using that gun law to begin with. So why do we need more laws on the books?
Right.
It makes no sense.
All it does is inconvenience law-abiding, responsible gun owners. And I believe the people in Massachusetts are strong supporters of the Second Amendment. I don't think, you know, everyone claims we're this, you know, hard blue state, but I believe when it comes to the issue of guns, we are very much a purple state, even probably err on the side of red. The last person
I agree with you, Toby.
Yeah, and the last person who ran on a campaign of banning guns was Luther Scott Harshbarger, and he went down in flames. So, you know,
well, guess what? Maura Healey, as you all know, I think everybody listening at this point knows, she hates the AR-15. She thinks these copycat assault rifles, and it's not an assault rifle, first of all.
Right.
It's an Armalite rifle, but, you know, she doesn't understand the nomenclature, so, you know, I guess you have to give her a pass, except that she's our attorney general, and she's making laws against our guns. And by the way, Smith & Wesson left Springfield, or they're in the process of leaving Springfield. Their headquarters are going to Tennessee. They're taking 750 jobs because the AR is 60% of their revenue.
Right.
She literally drove a historic industry and business right out of Western Massachusetts, a portion of our state that cannot afford to lose jobs. So she's a job killer before she even thinks about running for governor.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I toured the factory. There's actually 2,500 hourly employees there. They're leaving 700 employees and taking the rest to Tennessee. And it's a huge hit on our economy here in Massachusetts. And there's absolutely no reason. But Maura Healey pulled off one of the biggest power grabs I've ever seen as an adult. She single-handedly redefined, after 22 years of settled law, since the 94 assault weapons ban that Mass made permanent in 98, she went ahead and acted as judge, jury, executioner, the legislative branch, the governor, you know, the executive branch, and the judiciary, all in one fell swoop, and everyone went along with it when she redefined everything around what is known as the assault weapons ban. And I just don't understand how everyone could be so complicit and say, oh, good job.
You know what, Toby? We have a chance to reclaim or redeem ourselves because she's running for governor, which means we can vote for me and not her, mm-hmm. get her out of politics, and vote for Jay McMahon for attorney general, Jay is someone I'm sure you know, and this audience knows. It ran against Maura Healey for attorney general 4 years ago, wasn't successful, but now it's an open seat. If Jay gets in, your gun rights are going to be protected, that he is guaranteed that everywhere he goes. Jay is a fantastic candidate, and if we get him in, you will see a reversal on a lot of what Maura Healey's been doing. So we have a chance in just 6 months to rectify all the problems with our gun laws in this state.
I couldn't agree with you more. I endorsed him when he ran as attorney general. I'll be doing that again. And I think it's going to be great. Real quick, you know, we talk a lot about guns, and I appreciate your commitment to no new gun laws, and certainly won my endorsement. But the economy is going to be the driving factor in this midterm election. What can you do for the people of Massachusetts here that's going to want them to pull the lever for you, Jeff?
Well, first of all, the state right now is bringing in, you know, billions of dollars in excess tax revenue. We should be refunding that directly to the people. We should be doing a tax refund and then lowering taxes. Back in 2010, when I ran for state rep and I won a long shot race against an incumbent, I was talking about the fact that we increased the sales tax in Massachusetts from 5% to 6.25%. That was a killer in itself, because we're trying to compete as a state against New Hampshire, against, you know, bordering states that have lower taxes. That's a problem for us, and it's always been a problem for us. Now, on top of that, they're trying to pass things like this millionaire's tax. They've been continually hitting small businesses like your own with things like increased unemployment insurance, when we got $5 billion in federal money for the pandemic relief. They should have put all of that, in my opinion, right to the unemployment insurance, which had been tapped into to about $7 billion when everybody was home and they couldn't be working. And then, by the way, the state then incentivized people with enhanced unemployment to stay home, and then companies couldn't even get people to come back to work. They're still having problems with that. So what I'm going to try to do is make sure that government is not getting in the way of businesses by getting everybody back to work, making sure that these enhanced benefits, we come to an end, making sure that businesses get those lower taxes so they grow the jobs. That's how our state continues to grow. It's the innovation and the competition in the marketplace by small businesses that grow and compete, that grow the jobs, that create the opportunities for someone to afford a house, to send their kid to college. So there's so much tied into the economy, and I'm glad you asked that question.
Yeah.
There's a lot we can do in Massachusetts, and it's really one of the most critical things.
You know, as a multiple business owner, I tell you, nothing, as the former mayor used to say, fries my nose anymore than when, you know, we make these monthly tax payments every month, and they're huge. And the state, you know, doesn't care whether you're making money or not. And, you know, but the tax and the good people, while the gas tax is, you know, still there, and its fuel costs are through the roof, billions of dollars in the state coffers. And then at the end of the year, we pay taxes on our inventory that didn't sell that year. Like, they tax it when it sells. They tax it when it doesn't sell. It's unbelievable. And, you know, I know we got that reputation of
Taxachusetts,
but they've never seen a tax they don't like in this state, and they keep proposing
more.
You're
driving people out of the state. 50,000 people left Massachusetts last year, a lot of them business owners, because 40% of restaurants failed. Everybody I talked to says, if you don't win this race, I'm moving to Florida. Mm. Look, I don't want people to go to Florida and tip the state over. That's a joke, by the way. I'm just kidding about that. There was a Democratic congressman that thought Guam was going to tip over if too many soldiers went there. So anyway, the fact of the matter is, people are fleeing our state because it's unaffordable with the taxes currently, and if it continues at this pace, we're going to have real problems. I mean, with the inflation right now and the gas tax going up, the gas cost going up, can you imagine if I hadn't led the repeal of the index gas tax in 14, what that additional cost of indexing to inflation would add as a tax to what gas currently costs because of Brandon right now? It would be amazingly expensive, right? So that's about, by the way, Toby, before we go to break, I know it's getting close to the break time, I want to mention the Ninth Circuit Court, 10 judges were appointed by Trump. So when people remember that Trump, of course, appointed 3 Supreme Court judges, those 10 judges on the Ninth Circuit are what made this possible. So if you don't think that Trump was one of the greatest conservative presidents in the history of America, you've got another thing coming. When he got that Ninth Circuit flipped to being conservative, and that's why we're starting to see, you know, even the Ninth unable to prevent constitutional gun laws to go through. It's fantastic. We're on a roll as Republicans and as conservatives, and 22 is going to be an incredible year. 24 is going to be amazing. And we're going to see, I think, a resurgence and a real renaissance decade of true core American values and freedom-loving folks are going to see their gun rights and their individual rights restored.
Well, I certainly wish you well, my friend, and you have my vote as a guarantee on this November, and I hope that you do well. Let's see if we can get the momentum swinging, and I appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll see you next time for sure.
Oh, and Toby, people should go to www.jeffdeal.com if they want to get involved and help out. And of course, I could use a donation or volunteering. So thanks, Toby. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime. Thanks, Jeff. All right. We will be right back. This is the Howie Carr Show.
Fighting the fake news, one former Democrat stenographer with a press pass at a time. It's Howie Carr. He's always polite to his callers.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Howie Carr is back.
And welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. This is Toby Leary filling in. I am the co-owner of Cape Gunworks down on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. So if you're listening to me, it's because Howie is traveling back from his live remote that he did up in New Hampshire today. And I want to thank Jeff for being on. It was a good conversation, and I hope you guys will really jump behind him. It would be a horror show, in my opinion, if Maura Healey actually got elected. But let's go right back to the phones. Nina, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
So I have a question about... my sister and I had gotten into a verbal altercation back in 2016. She ended up calling the police and lied and said that I pushed her.
Mm.
So automatically I was arrested for domestic. So now that's on my it's permanently on your record, whether the next day we went to court and it was dismissed, like it was automatically dismissed and nothing came of it. But what came of it is not only my livelihood because I'm in the healthcare industry, but also my right to carry. So when you have a domestic on you, like what is your recourse on that? Especially when it didn't happen, when it was an outright lie, when there's nothing, like, is there any way you can get that expunged from your record? There is.
Well, here's the thing, Nina. It just being charged with something doesn't mean it's on your record necessarily. The arrest is going to be on your record, and you have to, you know, disclose if you've ever been arrested when you're applying for a permit in this state. So you're going to have to do that, and then you can tell them, look, you know, it was fabricated, it was lied. You get your kind of sit down with the chief, and if he denies you based on that, then you can appeal it. I would recommend you appeal it. I believe it goes to district court and say, look, this was all fabricated, and, you know, there was no... it was dismissed. There was nothing that stuck, really. It was all fabricated. So I would push through the process first and actually have them deny you in writing for that reason so that you can appeal. Because if they just tell you like, oh, yeah, we're not going to give you your license because of this domestic situation you were involved in, then you don't have any recourse. You don't have anything to stand on, no leg to stand on. So I would recommend just pushing it through the whole process. And if they do deny you, then you can appeal, get a good Second Amendment lawyer that knows the ins and outs of that to go ahead and help you out with that. So that's my advice. If you haven't been convicted, then you are not disqualified. So hopefully that helps you, Nina, and good luck with that, because I know that's the terrible process. And we hinted about it with Jeff Deal about the red flag laws. It's a recipe for abuse. And that's what happens all the time with, you know, the whole domestic thing is, you know, people can call and say, oh, they threatened me. And what do? They run right down, round up all the guns, arrest the person who they have accused. And now it's your job to sit there and prove your innocence. And now you have this black mark on your record. And, you know, people know that it's going to work because no district judge or no judge is going to say, well, I'm not going to err on the side of caution here and not go round up the guns based on what this person is saying. So an investigation has to happen, et cetera, et cetera. So, David, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Toby Leary. Go ahead, David.
Thanks, Toby. Two things real quick and a quick question. Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook He wouldn't have taken down your post, Toby, if you made it from Iran or from Afghanistan. He would have let it stay. So that guy should be brought up on charge of felony tampering with the presidential election. That's one thing. Number two, how Toby, there was a woman in Cambridge who was in desperate need for formula for a baby. I just want women to know that I was at the Market Basket in Hanover. I saw baby formula there today, so it was available. So if any mother is desperate, I just want them to know that there was baby formula at the Hanover Market Basket.
Good tip.
And that quick question, Toby.
Yep.
For gun safes, what is the best lining to if some of the older safes don't have lining? What is there a type of lining, either fireproof or regular, that you would recommend?
Yeah, well, it all depends on if it's long-term storage of a collection or if it's just for quick biometric access. Are you talking about like storing a gun that, you know, a collection of guns from theft and obviously...
No, I'm just thinking, it was a friend of mine who's just, he doesn't have a collection.
Okay.
Nothing like that, well, just like for access. Yeah.
So basically, they rate safes based on their fire rating. A lot of the ones that are quick access safes are just sheet metal, and they're not necessarily designed for prolonged attempted entrance to them. They're really just to keep you compliant with the law and from unauthorized access. But if you want a safe, you know, get a good one. And if you want one that, like my collection, goes into a fire rated safe, and the fire rating is anywhere from like 20 minutes up to like 2 hours. And you pay a ton of money when you get up in the hour range or 75-minute range because they, you know, have to build these things like tanks. And so basically there's even some of the ones we sell at our shop have a water rating as well. Like, so on Cape Cod, it actually, you're just as likely to have your basement flooded with water as you are to have your house burnt, you know. So there's also a water rating. So you can look into that as well. A lot of the really good safes out there are rated by fire rating or by water rating, but realize that you're going to need a small army to help you carry that thing into the house and bolt it down, because they get very heavy quickly depending on the fire rating. If you're not really worried about it, you're not storing family heirlooms in there and everything can be replaced, stick to like a 30 or a 45 minute fire rating, and you should probably have that good happy medium there. So hopefully that helps you, David. And that would be my recommendation. I would say that, you know, go visit a local gun store and you'll have a good selection to choose from. But, you know, it's always fun sitting here in the big chair at HowieCarShow.com or the Howie Car Show. And I love talking to you guys about guns. And I look forward to doing it again. We will, I'm sure. And God bless everyone. Have a wonderful weekend. This is the Howie Car Show, and I'm Toby Leary.